fan.
Tune in to 9 to noon this week and today, later today, for your shot to win a pair of tickets to this weekend's Wild Games thanks to OVO LASIK and Lens, the official LASIK provider of the Minnesota Wild.
You were at that game last night?
Yeah, I was. Still trying to recover.
How was it with a full building there at the X? It was awesome to watch.
It might have been the most electric I've ever seen the X in my life.
Like, you're talking like playoff game atmosphere.
It was definitely a play. Especially that first period literally had, you'd have a bingo card of what you want to see at a hockey game. That first period had it.
I can't get over the fact that this team actually, through three games, has conceded the first goal in each of the games.
Yeah.
Back-to-back, Anaheim and L.A. Coming out on top, it was Foligno beating someone's ass and then getting the late game winner with like 7 seconds left or something like that against Anaheim. You win 3-2 at L.A. It was Hartman, I think, with the third goal in the third period to make it 3-1. And then last night, I mean, just an exhausting affair. Jealous, and kudos to anybody that was in attendance and actually stayed through overtime. It sounded like there was a mass exodus when Kopp put that fifth goal in.
I think that's an understatement. I'm pretty sure at least half people left at least their seats, but then that goal gets overturned, and you just see the flood of people just coming back to their seats as fast as they could.
So I saw that. I saw it. It was a kind of a popular thing. Like, this is why you stay in your seat.
Oh, yeah.
This is why you don't leave. Two-goal lead, late stages of the third. It's a home opener. That's awesome. But I know this team well. And it's a school night. I got to get the kids home. I got to get them up for a couple of days of school before MEA. That's what Ron Johnson's doing right now. He'll be here around 10:15, 10:20-ish. Who knows? He's handling MEA. He forgot it was MEA. Love Ron. We'll see him soon. Talk with him soon. But I'm not mad at anybody that was like, ugh, all right, it didn't go my way. It was fun. Unbelievable. I mean, you got, it felt like a full game's worth of action in the first period. I think it was 2-2 at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Into the first intermission?
Or was it
3-3?
It might have been 2-1 off the top of my head. But yeah, I mean, it's still, like I said, everything you wanted to see. I saw Foligno Superman punch a guy like he was in the UFC in the first period.
Is he going to fight 30 times this year?
He might fight 82 times by the sounds of it.
I was seeing something yesterday. I think Carl Anthony Towns, this must have been a Johnny Athletic tweet of some sort, that Carl Anthony Towns gets himself pumped up for games by watching two gorillas fighting each other, like some National Geographic type stuff. Just hops online and watches just two gorillas pummeling each other. And that, I guess, is what he's going to use to pump himself up.
Whatever gets you going, I guess.
For a game. And I mean, I want to see that video. I want to know which one he's watching. And I'm going to watch, in solidarity with my man Cat, I'm going to watch it in front of the Howell and the Houston Rockets. Their home opener, their season opener, is this evening. Fun time to be a Minnesota sports fan. Bye week hits, ups and downs, football team's weird. But you get what you got last night out of your hockey team, and the Wolves back at it tonight against kind of a young upstart Houston Rockets team. But I digress. It was 2-2 at the end of the first, 3-3 at the end of the second. And then you get the two in the third by the Jets before the stunning comeback, the hat trick, Ewell Eriksson Ek. But if Carl's watching videos of gorillas fighting, then it has to be that Marcus Foligno's watching UFC fights. Because that move that he tried to put on, I mean, that looked like a jawbreaker.
Yeah.
If he connects, I think it was just right of the square jaw, and I forget who the guy he was fighting, who wasn't small by any stretch of the imagination, by the way. But Foligno, certainly the energy boost that was needed in that game. As I'm scrambling to find, I think it was Brendan Dillon, if that name's familiar, but I can't find it right now. Kaprizov through three games, 5 assists, has not found the net, but he had a hat trick of assists last night, which may have contributed to the hat trick for Mr. Eriksson Ek. 5 deficits, and you claw your way back. That's still, I'm completely enamored with that, with the pure determination that this team, the energy that this team has, and throughout the season continuing to kind of compare, well, this ain't the Parisian suitor regime anymore, boys. Something different, something new. And that's what I want to get into with Russo in the 11 o'clock hour. Much to the chagrin of some hockey fans during the first stretch. Didn't cover enough of the team, but we're going to get there. My apologies. Sometimes weekly guests cannot be moved. We love the team. We love having the Wild on our station. And we love Kurtz and Reed. We love Wild Joe. We love Wild Fallness. We love Micheletti. Fan line was last night. Hope you tuned in for that. But Guerin, and again, sample size, so it's tough to get too excited or too down, but these three games, every one of them has been captivating one way or another, and this team does look very different.
Well, even like on a national standpoint, the biggest complaint through the Parisi-Suter era was, well, the Wild are boring. You know, we don't want to watch them. Even if they're winning grinder games that aren't boring. Say anything you want about this team, that they're young, or they're not boring. They're the most exciting team maybe in the division outside of Colorado. And I don't think it's a stretch to say that they could keep this undefeated streak going for a little bit long, until at least Colorado a week from Saturday. You got Anaheim, Nashville, Vancouver, and Seattle. Those are all winnable games.
Yeah, absolutely. We do get the Kraken coming up here. Is it here or there?
It's there.
It's at Seattle.
In the new barn.
You know what kind of sucks for the Kraken? Did they need that five-game road stretch to, like, finish painting the inside of the arena?
Yeah.
I mean, they're a new team. They're going to lose a lot. I think they're one, you know, they've won a game. I know that for sure. But how about sticking them with a five-game road stretch to open up as a franchise? That's just terrible. So we're going to go to Seattle next week, it looks like. But, yeah, that lines up. Maybe we go on a bit of a run. I dig it, but Guerin putting his stamp on it. I think Eriksson Ek earning his cash. I want to see Kaprizov getting the puck in the net. I want to see him spending less time in the penalty box. Two infractions last night for the kid. Still adore him, but five dimes through three games. Certainly the offensive production out of that line and out of that group is humming like a bird right now. So it is a beautiful thing. But Guerin putting his stamp on things, his decisions. This is his team now. And so far, so good through three. Absolutely loving. And that game last night, unbelievable work done with Kurtz and Reed on the radio call. And it was a beautiful thing to watch from the comfy confines of my couch. That's where I'm kind of, I gotta get back into it in some ways. Like, and having young kids. Did you know it's MEA?
Mm. Yeah.
I got to walk to the arena.
Could be cold.
It's $9 beer night. So, but the spark, the rubidity is coming back to me. I am being reinvigorated to the point where I couldn't be more annoyed that I was not at the X last night. And so I'm going to have to get over to St. Paul more and more often. And more on the Minnesota Wild final segment, or final hour, I should say, with Russo. I do mention the Wolves. Wolves opening it up tonight in this. They're facing this Houston Rockets team. New life for the Wolves. Similarly with the Wild. Welcome back. Do your thing. Inspire. Excite. Win. And the stove is hot right now. Hot to the touch with the hockey team. I'm really looking forward to the Wolves finding that same spark and creating that heat early on. I think more so... That's tough. It might be split with the Twins, where when things start going bad, the attention to it drops off a cliff. And it can go from nearly full houses every game, every night, there are talkers, there are bits, there's hope. XYZ player, in this case, like an ant, looking forward to year two with him, that explodes. Which means when the team goes through lulls, everyone forgets. Like seeing the highlights, like tweeting about it, but you move on to other things. Fast start for the Wolves and what this incarnation looks like this year with Chris Finch at the helm for a full season. This is one of the most intriguing things with sports in this town right now. They're going to have an opportunity to beat up on a Houston team that has no idea who the hell they are. And then you're going to host two against the Pelicans without Zion. I saw some article. Zion may have weighed in excess of 300 pounds. He may have gained like 40 pounds in the offseason. No! God, the eating's good, man. He's also like 20, so he can just hop in the gym, turn that 20 pounds of fat, 30 pounds of fat into 10 pounds of stone, and life is good for him. But a chance with a fast start. The Wolves need that, just as the Wild are enjoying that right now. Houston made a deal because they can't trade John Wall to just not play him. And you're going to hear a ton of new names or names that you're completely unfamiliar with when you're watching this game tonight. Kevin Porter Jr., get to know him. He's actually pretty good. Jalen Green. Daniel Tice comes over, I believe, from Boston, unless he ended the season somewhere else. I thought it was Boston. Christian Wood, good center, came from Detroit. Jayshon Tate. Alperen Sengun. These are names that you're going to be hearing a lot tonight. You're not going to be hearing John Wall. Not even Daniel House. He's still trying to see if there's a love connection with that COVID tester down in the bubble. Armani Brooks. An opportunity to start fast. The Wolves can capitalize on that. And that's going to start tonight at 7 o'clock. Best of luck to Mr. Finch. The opportunity to see D'Lo, maybe next to Patrick Beverley. Defensively sound, attitude, grit, and dominating when they can. And tonight is the absolute perfectly teed up advantage matchup for this team to start fast. This is a team that can be 3-0. They need to take advantage of that. Beat teams when they're bad or when they are down. And you got three of those matchups coming up right around the corner. Thank you to Brett. I'm jealous you were at the game. I was not last night. Go Wild. More with Russo. Final hour. Ron Johnson in studio next. It's 9 to noon. How about some cash? Actually, can you do that for me, Brett?
I can do that for you.
Let's make sure we got the right keyword this
time. Yeah, I wrote it down.
All right, you take care of it.
The Fan, along with Blue Ox Heating and Air, are trying to put a grand in your hand with our national cash contest. Text the keyword pay, that is pay, to 200-200 to enter. Standard text message and data rate supply. More night. Sunday night is hockey night at Station 280 in St. Paul, presented by Coors Light. Join Corey Cove and Pat Micheletti Sunday evening from 5 to 7 to watch Minnesota versus Nashville. Play hockey trivia. Register to win luxury suite tickets. Go to KFAN.com. Keyword hockey. Hockey this Sunday at Station 280 in St. Paul. I'm grinding it out. No one can see. The impression's growing
exponentially. 651 Carpet Studio. It's Nordo in for PA. Happy to be joined now, Ron Johnson, at 3 Ron Johnson, via Twitter, Instagram. Just Google 3 Ron Johnson, and you'll find him. How you doing, man?
Good. How's it going?
Good. So you do the, my morning started great, and then Tatum Everett, I let her down. So you do the, during Vikings road games, you can watch the post-game shows, and is that Vikings.com? Where's the best spot for people to watch that?
Yeah, all Viking socials pretty much. So on their Facebook page, their YouTube.
So it's all over the place.
Twitter, I think. Yeah, so they just go to any of the Viking socials. It usually has, I think, Instagram Live even pops up. But yeah, Vikings.com, I'm guessing as well. Probably some kind of link that pops up there.
Absolutely. But, and that's why you're at TCO when we do Fan Line and you're looking at your phone and not listening to my questions.
Correct.
Okay, perfect.
Meat sauce in the bit.
So your gal Tatum Everett was in here today.
Mm-hmm.
To CPA. And she walks in and she says, hey, where's PA? Wanted to say hi to him. He said he's not here today. I'm filling in. Big gulps, huh? Okay, see you later. She left. That was it. Just no interest in seeing me. I should have told her that you were going to be here. And she would have stuck around. He's faked a smile. My goodness. It's bye week time, Ron.
Yeah.
Patrick Peterson. I believe the team... Here's where I'm at with this. Patrick Peterson has never missed a game due to injury in his NFL career.
Yep.
And he just went to injured reserve with a hamstring injury.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you played a position where hamstrings can be ill-affected. Did you ever have a hammy that was tight or an issue you had to work through it or whatever?
Yeah, yeah. Never in college, but yeah, I forgot what year it was. But yeah, I had a hamstring where I was out for like a week or two, and then I had to wear like this ridiculous like leg type. I don't even know what it was. It was like a neoprene sleeve with shorts.
Okay.
So it was like double on the right leg and singled up on the left, and yeah, it was just to keep it compressed and warm so I can get through a game. And yeah, it's not fun. It's definitely not fun.
Because people were annoyed that the team says he won't return with cramps. And right. What my thought is if I'm Patrick Peterson, and he's truly never been hurt.
Right.
I mean, just think of, that's unbelievable. People like Caleb Farley of the Titans right now, who just tore his ACL for the second time. He's had back surgeries. He's 22 years old.
Right.
He knows what injuries feel like.
Yeah.
Patrick Peterson does not.
Correct.
So when he goes down for the first time in his career with a uh-oh, it seems very plausible to me that he could just be like, yeah, this has got to be cramps.
Right.
It's got to be. Never missed a game before. I've never been hurt. I'm PP.
Yeah, well, if you see the play, I mean, you can go to my Twitter. I tweeted that right away.
Oh, we're going to your Twitter.
As soon as he did it, I said, that looks like a hamstring. Hopefully it's not bad. Because you can see him being overextended, trying to reach out and make a play on that ball. Honestly, and I hate the way the shadow on TV does it. So you can't really tell if he needed to lay out the way he did or if he was stumbling. And that's what I couldn't figure out, if he was trying to lay out, because he ended up batting the ball. I couldn't tell if he was laying out on purpose or if he stumbled and then just, you know, it just, the ball happened to run into his arms. But honestly, where that was thrown, his position, his ability to kind of shield the receiver from the ball, I don't know if he even had to overextend that way. But when he did, you can see him kind of put that leg in the ground, and then it was just too much weight, too much force on that one hamstring. And that's what happens. And it kind of probably either tugged. Or it even pulled, and that's the scary thing, is if it's an actual full, you know, tear, which you don't know, because on his podcast, he was on a podcast, I think it's his or Brian McFadden's, or they're doing it together.
Yeah.
But he brought that up. He said, man, like, after that, I got up, and he's like, I couldn't bend over to put my shoe on, or I couldn't, something like to that effect. He couldn't bend over to touch his toes, and so that's a bad one. But at the same time, any kind of injury like that, muscle-wise, when you wake up the next day, it feels worse. And then the good thing is, one, he's on IR. Not good, but the good thing is they have a bye week. So that's the first good thing, is they have a bye week. And that'll help, because there's nothing. There's not. I mean, he's just going to be rehabbing. And then he's going to have to sit out 3 full games, because everybody thought it was 3 weeks, but it's actually three games. So it's a full month, which could help, though. That month, if it wasn't, because he came out right away, he didn't keep trying to play on it, because that's where some guys go even worse. They keep running. And, you know, maybe it's okay. He'll snap back. And because to football, he's old, but to us, he's young.
Yeah, absolutely.
His body still can recover.
What is he, 31?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
To be 31 again.
I'm going to turn 37 in November.
I was dunking basketballs at 31. I wish I could go back to that day.
See, when that wave hits, or you cross that force field of being the kid that looks up.
Right.
Versus now the old man that bets money on and disparages kids effectively, even though they're highly compensated.
Right.
I guess at 36, I'm through that door, right?
Unless you're, you know, Tom Brady and,
I mean,
these guys. Larry Fitzgerald, he played, I think, at 36.
Because you can't punch down. You can only punch up. So I basically can only punch up at like 20 players in the league. Like Jason Peters, I'm on him all day.
I still don't know if you got that
Brady?
One.
Yeah, I can't. Well, I can't make fun of it. I mean, he's a consummate Pro Bowl, former All Pro. He's just,
yeah. You got Brady. You got, hey, it's only a handful. You're right. Yeah,
Rodgers. I think Rodgers is older than I am.
He looks like it.
By the way, terrific work in your, and this is probably unintentional, but it's brilliant given your promotion angle. You're the only person I follow that starts their handle with a number.
I had to do that because I wanted
the political guy.
No, well, no. I wanted Ron Johnson, some Yahoo, and I'm going to call him a butthole because he is.
Okay.
Some guy has Ron Johnson.
We got two. The BH count 9 to noon is now at 2. Didn't see that coming.
He's, who else used it?
Florio.
Oh, okay. He had it. And so when I first got on Twitter a long time ago, he had the egg, you know, the Chad R. Abbott profile picture.
Yeah.
Just the egg. Like, literally hadn't tweeted since like 2007. And so I reached
out.
He's
real passionate about his handle.
Correct. And still has not tweeted since. And I reached out, like, hey, can I get, you know, Ron Johnson? You know, I'm deactivating your account, letting Twitter. Because I looked it up and Twitter was like, yep, he has to deactivate his account. And then you have to just, you know, when once it's deactivated, then you can use it. And dude never did it. Like, he would not, like, respond or all at
so
all.
So he never responded at all?
Never. Well, I think, I don't know if he responded or somebody else tweeted that knew him or something. But yeah, no, and that was back in, I don't even know when I joined Twitter, 09, 2010, who knows. But yeah, so I started off, I think, as, I forgot what it was originally was. It was like Ron Johnson something or, and then one day I heard it on, I think the Big Ten Network or something. And they said something about, I don't know if it was Jim Tressel or whoever was Ohio State, but he made that statement. Because again, I look back on college and nobody really knew who I was until that Ohio State, or kind of, but nobody knew who I was until Ohio State game, honestly, you know, nationally. And after that game, Jim Tressel brought that up. He's like, man, that three, that Ron Johnson, you know, blah, blah. And so right there, I was like, you know, I need to change it to three Ron Johnson because, like, I don't want an underscore. I hate those. I hate the dots. I think I was going to go with some dots in there. And so then I just end up doing the three Ron Johnson, and that's all she wrote.
I just want to say, at Ron Johnson, 6 followers.
Did he? When's the last time he tweeted it?
Never.
Exactly.
How many of those followers appear to be of the adult entertainment link bot related variety?
They all look spammy, but not in the
spammy.
Not in the real estate market, I would say.
18 plus.
No.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. See some.
I'll check it out
jerk
later.
Off. He wouldn't let it go, so I just had to go with this one.
Bashaud Breeland, for me, has done, and it's, you know, when he's tweeting things and having to delete them, that's negative.
Yep. He's young, though.
It's weird to make it, you know, me versus the fans. It's interesting. But overall, like, moving forward for the next few games, you know, it's nice what we've done against the Sam Darnolds, the Jared right. Goffs, right. and frankly, even Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield right. is just cooked right now.
Yeah.
And only a portion of that, I think, is labrum related. He might just not be that good. Case Keenum starting tomorrow night. How about that?
Yeah, this is the guy. This is Stefanski's guy.
It's Stefanski's guy. But moving forward with the pair, the tandem of Bashaud Breeland, who for the most part has just kind of ascended in quality over the course of 6 weeks, and then Cam Dantzler,
mm-hmm.
when you picture that tandem, what do you think about that?
Well, I like Cam Dantzler. I like, you know, his length, his size. I think his biggest issue last year was just positioning. Like, I did a film breakdown, and I'm going to try to get some stuff up this week. I got an audition today, or a couple, so I don't know if I'm going to have time. But my goal was to get some stuff up either for Sunday of just play breakdown type stuff. But looking at last year compared to this year, and I think one big key is having a better nickel, which Mackenzie Alexander is that.
When you have somebody, he's been fantastic.
When you have somebody in the nickel that's kind of always there, because even the sneaky double move, they try to run the underneath screen with the double goals, and Mackenzie was right there. Like, he didn't go for the fake, yep. You know, the fake screen, deep ball, end zone, red zone shot. And so I think that helps because he's lined up in the right spot when they go bunch and all that and tight. You can see the conversation of him telling the guy, hey, I got the first inside, or hey, I got over the top. You take the point, man, blah, blah. Because that's in a lot of man situations, if that's what they're calling, you have to know who you have. And that's where a lot of, like I watched Justin Jefferson, a lot of his wide open were just miscommunications between the corners and the safeties, like not realizing, hey, we're in two-man. You got to sit there. I have the, you know, whatever, deep middle. You have to sit in that flat, you know, and then you got to cover the whole sideline for me up until about 20 yards.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff is where you see Mackenzie Alexander helping. The second part of that is you have Mike Hughes opposite Dantzler to start. So I don't know if that was a help You know, Mike Hughes is a great athlete.
Yeah.
I just don't know if he was mentally able to help Dantzler the way Patrick Peterson can.
Well, he's getting big snaps in Kansas City now for one of the worst defenses in the league.
Exactly. But that's the thing. Like, in Kansas City, they're more of a man team. You know, here, Zimmer is doing all kinds of stuff. I mean, honestly, we've heard that before. Like, how many different checks and calls he relies on with his DBs. And, how, you know, and Anthony Harris brought it up of how many times, you know, they're in two-man or something, or cover six, and he knows Harrison Smith is going to jump the over route, so he has to stay back to cover the post. You know, like, little things like that, being on the same page where you're not both turning and looking at each other like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, I got the hook. You know, that's where I think Cam Dantzler, it was, and I remember, I think it was the Falcons game was the brightest of the, like, worst games for the defense, where it was cover four.
Last year. Yeah,
0-5 Falcons come in here. Oh. It's cover four. All he has to do is put his butt to the sideline and be on the outside of the numbers. Because you can look at the other side of the field, and that's how I watch film. I usually look at one side of the field, see how they're lined up, and look at the other. Usually it should be a mirror if it's cover two or cover four. It's usually a mirror. Mike Hughes was there. So when, I don't know if it was Gage or whoever ran a go route on his, or Ridley ran a go route on his side, they had nothing. Dantzler was kind of inside the numbers. So when, I think it was Julio, when Julio kind of ran his little route, he got to a point where Dantzler couldn't see him anymore.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he sits for no reason, because I don't know if Matt Ryan pumped or what, but he sat, threw it right over his head, touchdown. So little things like that, if you're like, man, if he's just on the numbers, it's probably not a touchdown, because he's going to see the guy running full speed at him, and his eyes, you know, because your vision is inside. So if your butt's to the sideline and you're outside the numbers, now everybody's inside of you. If you're 2 yards inside the numbers, your vision can only go so far. And once Julio got into his peripheral, he lost him. And I think that's the key this year. You don't see that now. You don't see him lining up in the wrong spots. Because I think Patrick, I'm pretty sure, you know, and Breland being a vet, they're both helping this guy along, helping this kid along. And he looks pretty good. I mean, he looks confident. I think his tweets might have lit his own fire. Like, oh, man, if I'm going to tweet this, I gotta perform now. So I don't mind that matchup. And I think, to the Breland point, this is my thing about Twitter. I saw the New York Giants do this. I hope the Vikings do this one day. I don't know if we will, because we're a super passive-aggressive city as a whole. So you're not going to see too much aggression, where New York is, like, in your face. Like, you can have your backpack open in New York, and somebody's trying to help you, but they're going to insult you while they're helping you. Like, hey, yo, buddy. Zip, because I went to school down there in Fordham for a little bit, you know, getting my MBA until COVID killed us, and we got to wait. But, you know, hey, buddy, your backpack's open, you know, and you're kind of like not paying attention to the guy. And then, you know, after he's, hey, idiot, zip your back. You know, it's like, dude, just tell me to zip my back. You know, it's just like they're going to insult you. Here, somebody's going to come up and zip it for you, tell you dropped a $100 bill, put it back in your pocket for you. And so when you look at what the Giants did, they actually found people on Twitter that had made comments about their kicker. And then they invited those people to the facility to try to make that same kick. Because, you know, people tweet like, I can make a 25-yard field goal. And, and you know, so the Giants.
After Blair Walsh, the coolest, hippest viral video was just people going out in the snow and kicking 27-yard field goals.
And I didn't see
at
did
high
they
schools
make it?
Across the state.
Were they making them?
Sometimes.
Okay. But, you know. And
all of them were intoxicated.
But that's the key. You know, like, I look at people and what they tweet to Breland. And we're human. Let's be honest. We're human beings.
Yeah.
So there's only so much a human can take, because at the end of the day, the GM, the head coach, they're not looking at Twitter like, oh, man, the fans think I should cut Breland. Let's cut him. But to a player, emotionally, if you're sitting in your house on a Tuesday with nothing to do, you just got done working out, you got an entire day to yourself, you might go to the mall, and all of a sudden, your name just keeps, like, trending. So it's a rabbit hole, and you know that.
Yeah,
you hit the rabbit hole, and then you look at one tweet, then you look at the comments below, and it can get under your skin, because you're still a human being. Like, you're still a person trying to, like, because in people's minds, they're like, get rid of him. Well, that means now he's jobless. So that means now he has to live on the money he's made. Granted, it's a decent amount of money, but at the end of the day, you can't, like, he's only in his 30s, so you can't live for 40 more years on, like, $1 million. You know, like, because that's what people don't understand. Like, yeah, you made $1 million last year. But how long can that last with the bills you have?
Yeah.
Chris Carter put it best. Like, people try to make fun of Chris Carter saying $2 million is not a lot of money.
I don't think he said $2 million.
What did
I think
he said
like $10 or $20 million.
Did he? I don't remember.
I think he did.
But his thought was, what kind of lifestyle? Because you got to think about the lifestyle he lives. You know, he probably has a $4,000 or $5,000 mortgage. He probably has a car that costs, you know, $1,500 a month.
Well, yeah, so he's got to sell that stuff.
Correct. You got another house probably in Miami for Chris Carter. That's another $4,000.
So you got to sell that stuff.
But that's not the thought. The thought is, I got to go get another job. I want to live this lifestyle. I've earned this lifestyle, so I'm going to go work for ESPN. I'm going to go work for Fox. I'm going to go try to get me one of those Keyshawn Johnson contracts with the big network.
Yeah.
So that's what Chris Carter was trying to say, is like, I can't just, and I know that because he said that, like, me, him, Larry Fitzgerald, a couple other guys were at Larry Fitzgerald's house a while back with, like, this is back when, like, Lindale White and those guys from USC used to hang out with Larry. And we were at his house, and Chris literally said that then because Larry had guys in town working out. Brandon Marshall and all those guys were in town. So Larry invited us to his house to come eat after we worked out a lifetime. We played basketball a lifetime. And Rachel Nichols was here doing the E60 thing for him.
Yeah.
And so we went to his house, and Chris literally said that then too, though. He's like, man, because he was talking to me. He's like, man, what are you going to do? It's 2009. You're done playing. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I had no idea. I got lucky and blessed. Let's say blessed, not lucky, but blessed that Tony Dungy offered me a job to come coach with him. But I had no idea. I was like, man, I want to keep working out and maybe try to get back on with a team. I don't know. And he's like, man, I'm telling you. He's like, you can't live like this forever. Like, you got to decide. So he knows in his head, yeah, if you do want to do nothing, sell all your stuff. You know, live in a $300,000, $400,000 house. Like, yep, you can do it. Have just a one car. You can do that.
Yeah, but a lot of people do that.
But if you want the lifestyle. Happy. Yeah, but if you want the lifestyle you've already had playing football, you can't just sit back unless you've done enough, like a Peyton Manning, you know, like, and even Peyton's out getting jobs, you know, like that's what I look at. It's like, people always say, like, how satisfied are you with this? Like 10 million, 20 million, whatever. Guys like Bill Gates never stop. There's a reason guys like are built like that. They never stop.
Wait a minute, hold on. Are we comparing Bashaud Breeland to Bill Gates?
No. I'm saying
this thing has evolved.
The want to never stop. Like, you got to look, when I do motivational speeches, by the way, reach out. I speak at high schools, corporate events. But when I do motivational speech, I bring that up. It's like, what is your goal? What is your want? So for me, I've been homeless before. I've had the lights cut off and the heat cut off in my house.
Yeah.
So I know why I do, like, because people, oh man, you're always on TV, you're on the radio, you actually got a full-time job. Yeah. Because I know what it was like to be homeless, living in somebody's basement with a wife, because I didn't manage my money well coming out the NFL. So I know what that's like. So that's why my want, my heart, my goal is a lot different than somebody else's who grew up, you know, in a nice suburb, never had to deal with having your lights cut off, having your car repossessed. You know, like, that's the worst feeling in the world, coming outside not knowing if your car is stolen or you didn't pay the bill. I've had that where I didn't pay my car note. I had to figure out who repoed it, call the company. Hey, man, I'm going to have the money for y'all next month.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's why I say that. Like, guys like Breland, when he's sitting back, and again, it's a rabbit hole because there's mental health in this. Like, we can never forget mental health. Mental health in sports is huge because if you think your life or dream is over, and Breland really felt like in that moment he played horrible, he probably did go down that rabbit hole of like, man, I can't believe I know I'm playing. Because if it's a player, you know if you're not playing good. Like, if you drop four passes, you know you didn't have a good game. And so your
coach will let you know.
And your coach will let you know. But to stay off social media. And that's the problem, is like, players, it's different now. It's accessible. Like, I couldn't imagine the trouble I could have got in on social media after, like, beating Penn State or beating Ohio State. Like, Mason would have took my phone. Because I would have been tweeting at LeVar Arrington. I'd have been tweeting at, you know, Spice, Penn State's account themselves.
Yeah.
I'd have been looking for Nate Clements. Like, I would have gotten in trouble. I know I would have.
Sure.
You know, getting the pig from Iowa. Oh, man. I would have killed the state of Iowa with my tweets. And that's why, though, PJ's culture, he tries to get guys to not get on social media. That's right. Why you see the players stay under that. But in the NFL, you can't control players. You can only, I mean, you can tell them, hey, please don't do that. But at the end of the day, certain players are going to, like Jalen Ramsey, he's going to tweet whatever he wants.
Certainly.
He tweets whatever he wants. He does whatever he wants.
So in summation.
So.
To summarize, Rashaud Breland playing better.
He's playing better.
Has steadily gotten better.
Yep, and fans need to let it go. Like, let the man live. Enjoy what you have right now. You're a 3-3 team in the bye week. Like, you're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You're 7-seed in the playoffs right now.
We went from 0-2
to in the playoffs. Right. You just keep winning the games you're supposed to win. You got a tough one against Dallas. You pull that off, the world looks at you differently.
Absolutely. That's Ron Johnson. Now, he might not be able to live off $1 million for 40 years, but I feel like I could.
Really?
I'd be okay.
Oh, no. Oh,
absolutely.
That sounds like a power trip bet right there.
No, that's
you can sit down and do the math.
Well, who's going to act? No, you can do the math. You put your money in the market. You manage things.
So you're relying on the market now.
There's a lot of people that are going to...
Have you seen the market lately?
...make less than $1 million after taxes in their entire lives. So I feel like I could make it happen. And I come from humble beginnings as well.
I know you're twins. I don't think so.
Ron Johnson in studio at 3 Ron Johnson via Twitter. More Vikings-related conversation when we return.
EKFAN.
Come see us 3 hours before every kickoff for Vikings pregame on the Plaza presented by Shields. Each week, use hashtag KFAN Vikes for your shot to be Rube of the Game and win a $100 gift card thanks to Shields.
Later, 9 to noon during the final hour. First of all, about 10, 12 minutes from now, Michael Russo in studio, 9 to noon. Awesome way to open the home stretch at the X last night for the Minnesota Wild. OT, Victor's hat trick for Erickson Ek. Everything's beautiful. 5 assists in 3 games for Kaprizov. Things moving quite smoothly for Everson's team. Everson's team will break it down with Russo. We will be giving away Wild tickets during the final hour. I do want to be specific. We're giving away Wild tickets. We are not giving away $1 million for you to live on for the next 40 years. That is a very key distinction. It's just Wild tickets today. Just Wild tickets. One more segment with Ron Johnson in the studio at 3 Ron Johnson. I think I got to give you crap about it. But into the bye week. Forget the cornerback situation for a moment. Like the toughest thing to kind of get my head around is just what I should be expecting out of the bye week. It's Dallas in prime time. Then we're at Lamar Jackson. Lamar's a freaking monster. Yeah. He's unbelievable. One of my favorite people in the league to watch. He gives the ball away too much sometimes with bad fumbles, but you know he has that team humming right along. No-name running backs. I shouldn't say no-name, but maybe just of yesteryear, your Latavius Murray's and Le'Veon Bell's getting into the end zone. It doesn't matter who they trot out there, what number they're wearing. They find a way to run it for scores.
Yep.
But on a positive note, whether it's Kirk, let's get Dalvin healthy in those things. As a 3-3 team, they've kind of earned their record because of their inconsistency. But just moving forward, Ron, what excites you and what do you look forward to with this team out of the break and coming back less than 2 weeks from now?
Well, I mean, the big thing is health. So you're going to get guys like Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen who've been nicked up, who are going to get a week off to kind of really rest their, you know, I think ankle and foot. Same with Dalvin, you know, another guy that gets to rest. And he looked good. You know, he looked really good last week. So now a week of rest for him is even better. Darrisaw, getting him rest. You know, he's going to get rest, but he's also going to get a little bit more conditioning. He played the whole game, had 0 sacks. You know, I think it was 52 snaps, somebody said, and 0 sacks, 0 pressures, probably a lot of snacks. But those pieces right there, I mean, the Darrisaw, Jefferson, Thielen, Cook, I mean, those are the pieces right after the draft, those are the pieces we were all talking about. And then it took a while to get Darrisaw. I would have been amazed to see how well Darrisaw could have done starting from day one, because you look at some of the pressures Rashad Hill had where he was getting absolutely pushed back into the quarterback. You know, he's a swing guy. He's not a starting left tackle. He's a swing tackle that can come in, give you some six-man, six-o-lineman, you know, sets. But, you know, being on the left side, I think right side, he'd probably be better. You know, being on the left, that's tough. You're getting the best of the best. You're getting Myles Garrett. You're getting Daniil Everson, because I've just noticed now Daniil is actually on the other side as well, because people kept saying he's going to be on the left. He's been on the right a couple of times standing up, so that's kind of Zimmer.
A lot of the time.
Yeah, Zimmer being a little sneaky with that, too, having to move around with that 3-4 kind of hybrid look. But that's what I'm excited about. The other thing is Kirk hasn't played his best foot. Like, everybody's talking about Kirktober, and that's just Twitter, because Twitter clearly is not looking at the stats. He's not doing well in October. Like, his October is not great. His only 2 interceptions have come in October. You know, he's 65%. That's 20th in October.
Yeah.
He's, you know, his 92.7 passer rating. That's 21st. That's in October.
Mm-hmm.
So Kirktober has not happened.
Okay.
So maybe Halloween is going to be the transformation night of October where he's going to push his stat through the window against Dallas because it's going to be a shootout. I mean, Dak Prescott right now, I mean, you look at Dak's numbers. I mean, he's fifth in passing yards, 73% completion, same, 16 touchdowns. You know, his passer rating is fourth. I mean, he's doing well. Coming off of that leg, you know, guys, what was that, 2 years ago or something? People thought he'd never play football again.
Yeah, 100%.
Or was that last year that he got hurt?
It was last year.
Yeah.
And now he's got a calf issue.
Yeah, but he's still, I mean, he gets the week off too. Like, they have the week off as well. But if you look at Dak, it's not only the numbers, but he on the field, he looks good. Like, he's making the throws. He's doing the things he needs to do to make the plays. He's trusting guys like CeeDee Lamb and Cooper, like, to make the plays for him. But they're using his legs. Like, he's rolling out a bunch. And he's getting into the open field, creating that secondary pocket. But the other key for Dak, and this is where the defense, and I'm not saying I'm excited. I'm interested to see what Zimmer's going to do. In the red zone right now, 21 for 35, 8 touchdowns, 1 interception. He's only 60% completion in the red zone. So he's not doing great. So that's where I'm interested to see what Zimmer does to confuse him even more, to force a ton of field goals. Because they've still been scoring. I mean, he's getting 8 touchdowns in there in the red zone out of his 16. So half his touchdowns are in the red zone. But it's not like great completions. Where if you look at Kirk in the red zone, he's 71%.
Yeah.
So he's 10 percentage points higher than Dak in the red zone. And his are 10 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. So Kirk in the red zone has been lights out.
Yes, it has. As a matter of fact, so much so that on two occasions when Greg Joseph trotted out there for 2 25-yard field goals,
yep,
instead of just going for it fourth and short inside the 10,
yeah,
we should have let the guy that's lights out in the red zone at least try to convert one of those for 6.
Yeah, I agree.
Because if they do that, yeah, and he just kicks that extra point, we never got to overtime on Sunday. But that's a different thing.
That's a totally different story.
More Vikings-related conversation tomorrow. The last thing I did want to get into, in relation to the Cowboys, I like our offense against that defense. And mm-hmm.
Yeah, their defense is not good.
And that's the thing, is you can watch, and Trayvon Diggs.
Besides the run, though. Against the run, they're doing well.
They haven't been bad, no doubt about it.
No, they've only allowed 86 yards rushing. Passing is where they're getting hit. Turnovers, which is Trayvon Diggs pretty much, that's where they're good.
But I'm curious, as a wide receiver, how are you looking at Trayvon Diggs? Because for me, he is
a receiver.
This is a fantasy feast on Sunday night for Kirk Cousins, Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, KJ Osborne. I love this matchup.
Yeah.
And I love our route running superstars against a guy as aggressive as Trayvon Diggs. If you're a wide receiver out there and you're crisp on those, whether it's double moves and some sort of disguise to use his aggression and what makes him great on the stat line against him, I like our guys against Diggs.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Trayvon Diggs, and so you have to go back to the fact that people always joke about DBs being receivers that can't catch. Well, he's a DB was a receiver that can catch. And so what happens on deep balls, posts, if he's even with you, he's going to start running the route. So a lot of DBs panic. When there's a deep ball and they're chasing, they panic. And the first thing they do is either hit, grab, do some stupid arm in the air thing, like the jumbo thing at a car sale, at a used car sales lot. Or they just run the guy over and everybody's like, and then they're looking like, wait, that's a flag? Like, yeah, dummy, you ran him over. But Trayvon is opposite. He actually finds and locates the ball. So once he gets hipped with the receiver and he kind of touches him and he knows, okay, yep, you're here, and he knows the route, there's nothing else you can do now. You can't run a post corner. You're running a post. Watch his eyes. He no longer is looking, because what DBs are taught, look at the receiver's hands and maybe his eyes, and he'll tell you where the ball is going to come and then last minute make a play. He's like, no, if I know you're running a post, I know where the quarterback's throwing it, and he looks up at the ball, and then he goes and locates it and becomes the receiver. Same thing on curls. If he knows you're planning and running back, he's no longer just trying to swipe the ball. He's running through, because receivers are taught to come back to the ball. Well, if a receiver stops, he's going to run through that and pick it off. And so that's what's cool about Trayvon, is he goes against the best receiver in the NFL every summer. Every summer he gets to go against his brother. Every summer his brother's making him better.
Yeah.
Like, that's the key. When you can go up against one of the best receivers every day, you go on vacation, they're out there working. They go travel to see mom, they're out there working in the backyard. Because if you follow Stephon Diggs on social media, he'll tell you where they're at.
Yeah.
Like, they're always working. He's always talking to his brother about, hey, when I do this, this is what I'm trying to, this is what I'm thinking. And so that's what's going to be fun, is watching Diggs versus Jefferson or Diggs versus Thielen. Because I honestly looked at that draft class with Antoine Winfield and Trayvon Diggs. If Stephon Diggs doesn't leave here, they draft Trayvon.
You think so?
I think so.
Instead of Gladney?
Instead of Gladney. I truly believe it. I think that the fact that Stephon left, his agent probably said the same thing. Like, this is probably not the place you want to draft another Diggs. Like, Stephon admitted he was not a great teammate when he was ready to get out of here. So that was just bad blood. That was just bad blood. Because I looked at that draft and I'm like, you got a DB out of Alabama and you go with nothing against Jeff Gladney and TCU. I've never been a fan of TCU players, though. Like, I didn't like Josh Doctson. I didn't like Jalen Reagor. Like, I said that with PU and PA when you guys had me pick a guy, and I picked Justin Jefferson, and PA was like, scoffed at it as if that wasn't going to happen. Mm. It happened. It's on, you can go find it. It's on wax.
It's on wax.
I don't
even
know if they put it on wax anymore, but it's on wax. And I said Justin Jefferson. Also, I also was hoping they get T. Higgins too, but I said Trayvon Diggs should have been the guy, him and Antoine Winfield, because Tony Dungy said it best. Just because a guy grades out as a 1-2 first, second rounder, if you want him, just go get him in the position you want him. Because in the end, it's going to work out. But honestly, the blood of the Diggs deal, leaving before that, getting the trade, blah, blah, I just think it just wasn't in the cards.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with me.
No, appreciate it.
Enjoy MEA. Yeah.
Ask Russo
really
to figure out if he can retire with $1 million in 40 years.
Yeah, no, that's... I know what Russo's answer is going
pleated
to be.
Pleated pants. I know that. Me and Russo got to hang out in Vegas for a little bit. So he had the pleated pants on.
Cool thing about Russo is he could live and do his exact same lifestyle on $1 million because he'd never have to pay for a flight or a hotel room.
True.
He's got,
I know we were in, we, me and LaPanza were in Vegas doing the, I think, Fresno. I forgot who Fresno State was playing, but we were doing the Fresno game out there.
Nevada.
Yeah. And all of a sudden we get the dinner. And Russo's there. And I literally had to think, like, I'm like, wait, what is he doing here? And then I found out,
he'll,
like,
surprise you.
LaPanta's wife was like, hey, wherever LaPanta goes, Russo's going to be somewhere near there.
Absolutely.
So at three, I learned early.
At 3 Ron Johnson via Twitter. We'll follow your work into the weekend with the Gophers, beat the hell out of Maryland and the Tonga Vailoa Cat. And we will chat next week as we look forward to Vikings Cowboys, my friend.
Talia turned the ball over. That's his name.
Absolutely.
He's going to turn it over Saturday.
And we're going to turn the page and turn it over to the Minnesota Wild, who won in overtime last night. What a freaking game at the X.
Oh, there was hockey last night?
5 deficits overcome. And it was Erickson Ek with a hat trick last night. Russo in studio.
What is this hockey thing you guys talk about?
Yeah, I don't know. What is that? It's like soccer on ice. But final hour is Russo. It's Nordo in for PA. Wild ticket giveaway coming your way as well, so stay tuned for that. This is not...